Chapter 1, verse 29. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out demons. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, and that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but he was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Again, Lord, as we continue through your word, we ask, Lord, that you would draw us closer and cause us to entrust our heart and our life, reliance upon you. Lord, do cause us, as we looked at last week, Lord, to mix our faith with truth so that it would bring results. We look to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of action in chapter 1, but we're going to kind of walk through it and just comment on a few things. But it begins with, you know, the end of really John the Baptist's ministry. Last week we looked at how John baptized Jesus, spirit like a dove descending upon him. But in verse 14, it says that John was now imprisoned. And then, you know, following his imprisonment, Jesus, the time, the fulfilled time came for Jesus to start his Galilean ministry. And, you know, there's a big difference between John's ministry and Jesus' ministry. If you look back at verse 7, at the end of verse 7, John says, "He's mightier than I." And, you know, "I baptize you with water," in verse 8, but he's come to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The ministry of Jesus. Well, now his ministry has begun. And, you know, John in the Gospel of John, John in the Gospel of John, speaking of John the Baptist, said of Jesus that, you know, and of Jesus' ministry, that he must increase, I must decrease. And how Jesus, you know, like a proper principle of Jesus in our life, he must increase and we must decrease. Here, you know, John being stepping out of the way, you know, as it were, he's in prison. Now Jesus stepping into or on the print, starts his Galilean ministry. And remember last week, the ministry of John. ministry of preparation, a ministry of repentance, preparing the way for Jesus' coming. And really, repentance does bring Jesus. When we repent not as a duty, you know. I mean, we do it as an activity so that we align ourselves before Him. But we do it for the reason to connect with Him. And the ministry of John's, you know, preparations fulfilled. Jesus is now stepping on, you know, stepping up and on the print. And same with us, you know, as we repent, we prepare our hearts for Him. He shows up. Jesus is faithful. When we turn to Him with our heart, He's there, constant. But He's beginning His Galilean ministry. And the next scene is when He calls four fishermen and two sets of brothers, Simon and Andrew, James and John, all there, you know, by the Sea of Galilee, all fishermen. But remember, Peter dictated this letter to Mark. It's a wonder that he's mentioned first. But here, Simon and Andrew. But if you look at all the Gospels and you take the whole account of the, you know, the calling of the disciples and chronologically, this happens a little later. They've already witnessed Jesus. They've already seen His teaching. They've seen Him. When Jesus came to, you know, Andrew and Simon, Peter, and He said, "Follow me." And the Bible tells us, Mark says, that they left their nets and they followed Him. It wasn't like some kind of, you know, we envision this sometimes. Follow me, it's like, you know, like as if got a zombie, you know. But they weighed this out. They've already seen Him. They've been with Him. They counted the cost. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they count the cost of discipleship. And they did follow Him. History tells us they followed Him to their deaths. When they committed themselves to Jesus, it was for life. And they followed Him, two sets of brothers. The only difference, you know, with James and John, it says that they were sons of Zebedee. They were in the boat with hired servants. You know, John's father, Zebedee, probably, you know, had a few extra bucks running a fishing business, you know, Thunder fishing merchant business. But, and they wore better tennis shoes. That was the only difference between John and James and Andrew and Peter. Calling them, all four of them, following them. The next scene is Jesus in Capernaum. And entering into the synagogue, teaching. He's teaching, and, you know, the response of those witnessing His teaching is that they were amazed. Man, Jesus coming, you know, the synagogue would be like the church, you know, coming into the church and teaching, and then, you know, they were amazed because He taught with such authority. How He taught. Remember back in Matthew when we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, and then three chapters there. And how Jesus said several times, He says, "You have heard, it has been said of old, it was written, that thou shalt not murder. But I say unto you," He spoke with such authority, not even equating Himself with the written word, but revising it, putting Himself. He is the author of the written word. And how He spoke with such authority. The Bible tells us, and not as the scribes. He didn't teach like the scribes. The scribes were the professional copyist. They copied the written word, the law. And they would teach in, you know, kind of like as Rabbi Rabino, you know, Gamaliel, they would always cite somebody, kind of like basing their authority upon dropping names. Now, Pastor Chuck says. And Jesus didn't do that. He said, "I say unto you." He came in with such a fresh, authoritative way of teaching. And they were amazed. Such a difference. Jesus coming on the scene, the Bible says they were amazed. They were astonished by the way he taught. You know, the original thought. You know, you think of somebody's got like a, I heard McGee dropping a name, talking the other day about prophecy. He says, I got several books of prophecy in my library. And there's like one was written, and then everybody else seemed to copy it. Xerox copy of all the others. You know, there's something about original thought. Those that do write, that speak, and that, you know, have that fresh, original idea. But that's an understatement when it comes to Jesus. Jesus, he began. He is the, you know, originator of mankind. I thought of Moses. When Moses was before the burning bush and God was calling Moses, you know, I want you to go to Pharaoh. You're going to deliver my people. You're the man, Moses. And Moses, kind of questioning him, says, you know, I'm not eloquent in speech. You know, I'm slow to speech. I can't talk. I stutter. I'm not the right guy, Lord. And yet God spoke to Moses and said, who made the tongue, Moses? He's the originator of us, of our life. And as he taught, you know, you can envision him looking at everyone, looking through everyone. For he knows us all and speaking to our hearts. Because he spoke with authority. The Bible says that while they were in the synagogue, there was a demoniac or someone that had multiple demons. And Jesus casted out the demons there in the synagogue. And they were amazed. They were astonished at his teaching. They were amazed at his power, his authority, the way he taught, and his authority over the demons. Again, you know, I've read a lot of books about, you know, demonology or exorcisms. And, you know, I've read them, and, man, you gotta be in the right state of mind, man. You know, and you got to go in teams of five or seven. And you got to pray, and you got to worship, because it's overwhelming. It's exhausting, as, you know, some of these exorcisms, you know, unfold. You got to stay sharp. You got to fast. You got to, you know, be in the spiritual state of mind. But Jesus, come out of him. He delivered them, him, this person, others, with such authority from just his spoken word. They were amazed, the Bible tells us. But notice that the demons and what they say in verse 27, then they were amazed. They said, leave us alone. I'm sorry, in verse 24, the demons saying, leave us alone. And how, you know, that's a typical response of somebody that's in darkness or in sin. You confront somebody. You know, what comes with the gospel in Jesus is light and truth and involvement. And when you come to somebody, get in their face sometimes, you know, and tell them about Jesus. Leave me alone. If they're comfortable in their sin, they don't want to hear Jesus. Typical response of one that's in darkness and in sin. Let us alone. We know who you are. And Jesus casting out the demons there in the synagogue. The next scene is Jesus comes into Peter's house, Peter and Andrew's house. And Peter's mother-in-law is sick, you know, with the fever. She's, you know, laying down sick. And Jesus heals her. And the Bible says that he takes her by the hand. And immediately the fever broke. Jesus showing his power over, you know, one scene right after another as Mark moves on, as the Gospel of Mark unfolds quickly. He delivers her from the fever and sickness, kind of showing that he has power and authority over sickness, power and authority over demons, power and authority over us. But notice as the first thing she does is immediately the fever left her and she served them. How, you know, that's a principle in Scripture. He frees us. He gets involved in our lives, but not for our benefit, not, you know, to enhance my personality, but that I would serve him. He frees me and you that we might get involved and participate with him, in him, for him. She does. She gets up and serves them. After he heals her, the fever leaves immediately. The next scene is multitudes come to the front door of Peter's house. A lot of healings and casting out of demons, the Bible says. And notice the distinction between the two. You know, some people, you know, they look back and they think, oh, the scripture is so barbaric. Everything was demonically connected. You know, if somebody had a cold, they had a demon of, a cold or some kind of headache. It was a demon. And it doesn't suggest that. It makes a distinction between sicknesses and demonic activity and possession and strongholds. And he healed them all. He casted out demons, but he did not allow them to speak. The demons, he mentions this, you know, over and over again, as the demons, you know, they said, we know who you are, Most Holy One. And they did know. He created them, you know, years ago. And they recognized who he was, Jesus, the Son of God. But he didn't permit them to speak because they blow, not, you know, so much as he was afraid, you know, of his fame, but that he would have the freedom to operate. And the Bible tells us that because, you know, his fame spread too quickly, he was, it kind of tied his hands and how free he was. He could only speak in deserted places. The next scene, Jesus praying in verse 35 through 39. Look in verse 38. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I might preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. The Bible opens up, you know, this scene the next day after the synagogue, after going into Peter and Andrew's house, after healing Peter's mother-in-law, and after the multitudes come to him. Sun goes down, sun comes up. Early in the morning, Peter, Jesus, finding a solitary place, goes and prays. Peter finds him somewhere, you know, by himself praying. He says, hey, everyone's looking for you. Jesus tells him, you know, let's go into the next towns. Jesus' focus, not only prayer, but his focus on the next thing. New people. Another encounter. A fresh, it's a new day. You know, we're to have a new experience on a new day. I've been thinking about that song all week, you know. The windows of heaven are open. Fire has fallen tonight. Because of last week. The windows of heaven. Open windows of heaven 2011. As our motto for this year. Open windows of heaven. And that song, I've been singing it. And I, you know, fire's going to fall tonight. I got joy down in my soul. Since Jesus made everything now, right? I gave him my old filthy garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. And now I'm eating the manna from heaven. A daily experience. You know, a new experience. Fresh experience. And Jesus said, hey, the purpose I came. Let's go into the next towns. I know everybody, you know, he touches our lives. And we want to kind of camp on that. But Jesus' focus is forward. And let's go into the next towns. We got more preaching to do. We have more people to reach. We have more towns to go into. And focus of Jesus to the next fresh encounter. New year, new life. The next scene, let's spend a little more time on. The healing of the leper in verse 40. Turn to 40. Now, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. In verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus, you know, after Mark kind of giving the account of Jesus' authority, his power, the way he taught, marveled. It's marvelous. It was amazing, the way he taught. Astonishing. How he casted out demons just by a word. Get out. You know, when the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, when Jesus returns and how he deals with Satan, is he tells the angels, bind him with a word. How the power of Jesus is amazing. Here, Mark, you know, Peter reflecting, and Peter dictating to Mark, and Mark recollecting the accounts of Jesus' movement and power and freedom and healings and deliverances. Now a leper comes to Jesus, and in, you know, Scripture, leprosy is a symbol of sin. And in many ways. One is because sin separates us from God. If I'm in sin, I'm out of fellowship with God. The Bible tells us my hand is not too heavy, my arm's not too short, but it's your sin that separates me from you. The Bible tells us, God says. Sin separates us. Leprosy ostracized somebody. They were cut off. You know, they had to live outside the city. They were in a leper camp. They were confined to a quarantined, isolated, solitary type life. Cut off. Leprosy cuts us off. Sin cuts us off. The leper coming to Jesus, leprosy, there was no known cure. It was destructive. It's just a matter of time. Ruin your life. And still with sin. There's no known cure. We can chase different, you know, avenues or mediums, but only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse a man from sin. We can only find our pardon at the cross. And sin, leprosy, like sin in many ways. But notice how he comes to Jesus. He's kneeling down, verse 40. He comes with the right attitude. As he comes before Jesus, he's bowing. His knees are working pretty good. He's able to get in the right posture of heart. You know, the right attitude of heart. Lower, under Jesus. With that right attitude and heart, he comes to Jesus. He prays or asks Jesus. He said, if you are willing, you know, demonstrating that he has faith. As Spurgeon said, this was a lapse in his faith, but I don't see that. I see that he came with all faith. He says, if you are willing, you can make me whole. You can cleanse me. Recognizing the power of Jesus, coming to Jesus for deliverance, you can make me clean. You know, and that demonstration of faith. We come to Jesus. We're to come with the right attitude of faith, submitting ourselves under, bowing with the right attitude before him, but with that heart of faith. He says, you can, I liked, you know, shortening that, you know, statement. You can make me clean. You can make me different. You can change my heart. You can make me free. You can, you know, Jesus said that. He says, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He'll make us. Remake us if we follow him with the right heart, with the right commitment. And this leper comes and he says, you can make, he recognized that Jesus could not only have the power, but he was the only one that can help inside. if you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. You can remake me new. We were talking to Tom Williams, and he told that story. He had a vision. That last night we had dinner with him at Country Buffet. I'll give you the details. He had a lot of fruit. I ate some meat. But anyways, he was telling a lot of stories, one right after another. And he was saying about this vision he had, the vision of the cross. And in the vision of the cross, he's seen Jesus. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus asked him, "Why are you in them filthy garments?" And so he took off the garments and he threw them down. And Tom goes on, Jesus took off his white robe and put it on Tom, us, me, you. And then, this is where I didn't catch the last time he shared that vision. Then he says, he picked up his filthy garments and put them on himself. And then he crawled up on the cross, and then he died in my place. Yeah, you're willing. If you're willing, you can change me. You can make me new. You can free me. You can deliver me. You can give me that. It's all scriptural. That robe of righteousness, freedom, deliverance, help, power, baptism of the Spirit. He showing this heart of faith, you know, asking if you are willing, kind of addressing the issue. You know, most of us think that God can do anything. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, he spoke the worlds into existence. But will he touch me? Will he? It's not if he can or can he, but will he? And he addresses that. You know, are you willing? If you're willing, it's not a matter of Jesus being willing. It's a matter of us being willing. He deals with us based upon where we're at. You return to me, I'll return to you. If you're with me, I'll be with you. By the measure of faith, so be it unto you. And this man, this leper, had much faith. So much that he approached Jesus. He kneeled before him and recognized that Jesus could deliver him. He has the power. But then, you know, settling the issue of, will he touch me? I mean, he's touched a lot of people's lives. Will he touch mine? And Jesus dealing with this, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. Am I willing? Yes, I'm willing. We come to him, it moves him with the right heart, with the right posture. And he states so. He asks, you know, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Am I willing? Yeah, to come, to bow, to follow, to ask with the heart of faith. Another thing too, you know, as a leper, coming in contact with someone was taboo. It was wrong. It was against the law. You were to, you know, isolate yourself. And if anybody came, it's in Leviticus, anybody came, you know, within your proximity, you're supposed to yell out, "I'm unclean, leper, unclean," and notify them, "Hey, stay away, I'm a leper." But here's this leper with such perseverance that he's pushing through and in to see Jesus. And then the Bible tells us that no one was allowed to touch lepers, but Jesus broke that rule when he laid his hands upon him. He had such perseverance, a heart of faith, the right posture. You can make me clean. And Jesus is moved. He's moved with his attitude, with his faith, with his perseverance. In 41, the end of 41, he says, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And immediately, as he spoke, he was cleansed. How this picture of coming to Jesus, it's really a great application. You know, chapter 1 ends with a perfect illustration for us to come to him. how to come to Him, why to come to Him, for our need to be touched. We all have our issues. You know, I'll show what we're wrestling with. What's interesting is the way he taught, you know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he says, you know, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. They do not come to the light. They're practicing the evil. They're practicing sin. They refuse to come to the light. That's condemnation. But Jesus said, you know, the Son of Man didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but He came into the world to save the world. And how He disarms. When we come before Him and encounter Him, He disarms our rationals, our arguments, you know, all our ideas. He levels our objections and our resistance. That's why it always, you know, ends up and the answer is Jesus. You know, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Keith Green sings that song, you know, I asked Him to show me the way. He is the way. You know, I asked Him for the truth. He is the truth. You know, life. He's given me life. It always answers in Him, in His person. We come before Him to contact Him. We come to meet Him, to be touched, freed, cleansed, uplifted, changed. He can do it. Another thing Tom was sharing last night, encounter after encounter, he was sharing some of the people he led to Christ and the story behind it. And he says, you know why that happened? He says, Jason, he says, look at me, Jason, say this. He says, oh, yeah, he's in the ministry for 53 years. He's 83 years old. He's a police officer, a marksman. He's had an incredible full life. And yet, he now, coming to the end, you know, sees, you know, the importance of passing on what is important. And Jason, look at me, he says, say this. Lord, use me to reach someone. He said, just say it. Just say it. Mean it in your heart. Now, he's going to do it. He says, that's all I did. See, having the willingness. It isn't a matter of if he will. Yes, I'm willing. Jesus moved with compassion. It's about time. You know, it's about time you asked me, Mike. He exemplifies his response. You know, he immediately heals him, of course. You know, this whole chapter, or the second part of the chapter, showing Jesus' authority over demons and sickness, over us, power to make us different. If I only come to Him and entrust myself to Him, it's so simple. You know, we overcomplicate things. It's all about just, in truth, coming before Him and yielding ourselves in truth. He moves. He's faithful. He's never failed. We balk. We hesitate. We have resistance. We have fears, reluctance. We're reticent. We have attitudes. It's not fair. But our problem is the problem. It isn't Him. It's not His willingness. He demonstrates His authority over demons, over sickness. And again, I believe that, you know, the windows of heaven are open. The power is fallen tonight. It's just a matter of acceptance. Let's stand. Well, Bill called earlier. He was going to come and... He's been asking, he's been asking for prayer. You know, next week I want you to anoint me with oil and pray. He's been saying that, you know, and he called this time. He really wants to do it. But if there's anybody else that would like prayer this morning, you know, we're here to pray and agree with you. I like, you know, one thing. I just finished... George W. Bush's book, Decision Points, the audio book. And, you know, he is just going through his presidency, his memoirs, you know, kind of like matter-of-factly. But one thing he says, you know, Billy Graham came to our house. He wasn't dropping a whole lot of names, but he dropped Billy Graham. And he talked about praying every morning, asking God for his will and decision. Every day he prayed, read the Bible, every morning. But going over his presidency, you know, the importance of connecting with Christ. And that's what it's all about with us, you know, connecting with him, opening our heart to him, laying down the resistance, and opening our faith, and being in the right posture, right attitude. God's in control. He can do whatever he wants with whomever he wills, the way he desires. He's the potter, we're the clay, to come before him, before the cross, and to allow him, to accept him. And really the picture of the leper, the perfect illustration of someone coming by faith and yielding before Jesus and receiving that connection, contact. He took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand. Sometimes he takes us by the hand. To the leper, even though he touched him, he says that he was healed by his spoken word. The Bible tells us that, you know, it testifies of itself in the book of Psalms. I sent forth my word and it healed them. Sometimes we have contacts of faith through hearing the scripture. We hear it. And it touches us. And we're to respond to it. But let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your word and the scripture. And we thank you, Lord, that you, for your mercy and your grace, mercy made new every morning, manna daily, fresh experience you desire for us to have today, to be united with you, to connect with you. We come before you, Lord. We ask that you do reconnect us, touch us, do cause us to understand the purpose you've come for, the next town to preach the gospel, to reach another. Cause us, Lord, to have your heart, your vision. We praise you, Lord, for all that you've done in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, we ask that you'd cause us, each and every one of us, to respond to what you're trying to tell us this morning and not resist. But we bow before you, yield ourselves before you in truth and fullness, measuring out, weighing out the cost of discipleship. But knowing, Lord, that if we follow you, you're going to make us different. You're going to make us new creations. We look to you, Lord. We ask that you have your way in us and through us, according to your Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you minister, baptizing in the Holy Spirit. We ask that you free us and deliver us from deception and lies. We ask that you strengthen us physically, power over sickness. And Lord, we ask that you have your way, that we see the windows of heaven are open. And your plan, your purpose, your voice, your word, your presence with us. Open it up, Lord. Connect us according to your plan, according to your word, according to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody needs prayer, we have anointing oil. For contact, deliverance, freedom, strength, His Spirit. But may the Lord be with you this morning and cover you with His hand and His Spirit, His freedom, His love, His mercy, His grace to reconnect us. We hear His voice submitting our hearts, a bended knee before Him, according to his plan, according to his will. In Jesus' name, amen.